You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Well, do we call it day number two of NHL free agency? I mean, it hasn't been 24 hours yet, but at the same time, I mean, it is the second day, and honestly, like, there really hasn't been much movement with the Sabres. There have been, I shouldn't say that. I mean, they've made some moves, but I think the general population of Sabres fans, analysis, whatever, anyone, just kind of, hey, maybe expecting more than what's been done so far. The latest, though, has been the addition of James Reimer, the goaltender, veteran goalie, going to come into Buffalo, and I presume, I mean, as Joe just said, ending the morning show, like, now you'd have to kind of think that Devin Levi starts in Rochester. But I just think this is going to be they're willing to eat the million if Devin Levi beats him, right? Beats him out. But we'll get with Paul Hamilton here as we roll along on the Extra Point Show and ask him what his thoughts are. Paul is down at development camp. You hear those sounds in the back. I love it. Paul joins me live from Harbor Center, Lecom Harbor Center. All right, Paul, first of all, good morning to you.
Good morning.
And we'll get into the development camp in a minute. Tell me about the signing of James Reimer and what it means for the goaltending situation.
Oh, I still think he's the number three, unless, you know, Levi has to have a good camp. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. But I think Luukkonen and Levi are their top two, unless Levi does not have a good camp. So, you know, and that would put James Reimer in Rochester, and because they're not going to carry three, and then he'd be the guy they'd call up if they need somebody. But right now, I think Levi is the number two. I think he would have to lose that job.
Yeah, I mean, so the way it works on a one-way deal is, even if he goes to Rochester, they're still paying him the full $1 million. Do I understand
Correct.
That correctly, or am I wrong?
Absolutely right. Yeah, a lot of fans get that confused, that a one-way deal means he can't go to Rochester. No, it just means you pay him his NHL salary if he goes to Rochester. That's all.
And he would have to still clear waivers, which I would imagine at this particular player, at that salary, if he doesn't beat out Devin Levi, he's going to clear waivers unless somebody has an injury and they desperately need a goalie.
He would have to clear waivers. That is correct.
Okay. All right, so James Reimer joins the Sabres. What did you learn from Kevin Adams yesterday at his press conference? Anything?
Well, I think the Sabres are considerably better, but that doesn't mean I think that they finished the job. I don't think they have. They desperately need a top six forward, and they didn't get that. I think they are going to be much, much harder to play against. Sal, you've heard me for how many years talk about how this team is not built correctly. I mean, too many little guys with speed, and everybody's kind of the same. And, you know, they fixed that now. And I like a lot what they've done there. I don't even mind Zucker if you're looking at him to play in a top nine role, not a top six. If he's in your top six, I don't think you've done the job. I don't think you've gotten what you need to get. What this means, if this is what they wind up with, is either him, Benson, or Greenway have to play in your top six. And quite frankly, I don't want any of the three of them in my top six right now. Benton eventually, maybe, but I suppose if I got to choose between those three, it would be Benson. But I just think that they need to do more. They've done a good job with what they've done and what they needed to do with getting much harder to play against, and they have. But they had to get a third goalie, which they've done. They had to get some depth defensemen. They've done that with Gilbert and Clegg and Bryson. But I just don't think they finished the job. I think there's more to do here.
How do they go about more to do? Obviously, conversations are always ongoing. He's always open to conversations. We know that. Do we think that Kevin Adams will still try to be very aggressive to make that extra move? I know that it hasn't worked out so far. What did you get from the sense of him yesterday talking about how the rest of the offseason could unfold?
Well, now it has to be trade, which I always thought it was going to be anyway. I think unrestricted free agency is ridiculous at times. But, you know, was he referring to Nietzsche when he was talking yesterday about, you know, there was, you know, guys, you know, talking about trade and everything, and then Next thing you know, he goes, he was never traded. And there were, what, three or four teams, including the Sabres, that were connected to Nietzsche's. And Carolina still has him. Is Carolina decided they're not going to trade him? I asked Adams. I said, well, the guy you're talking about here, if that team circles back to you, are you interested still? And he said, yes, he would still be interested if that team circles back to talk about it. But, you know, so, you know, what's Carolina going to do with him? That would be a good trade for Buffalo if they could pull that off. But that hasn't happened yet. Are they asking too much? Have they changed their mind? Were teams not willing to meet a price? Were teams being too cheap? I don't know. And I don't know if that's who Adams was referring to, but that was the first thing that came to my mind when he said that. And then he got into, which isn't a good sign, how much he likes his team and how much he thinks they can score goals and their scoring is just fine. And when you get into that, I'm reading the tea leaves thinking, well, maybe the next thing isn't coming. And maybe this is what you have. There's still plenty of time. We're in July. I mean, I always say, and I'll say it again, I mean, if we're having this conversation in September, I think they're in trouble. But it seems like we might be having this conversation in September unless some teams decide they want to trade some guys where they originally thought they might have wanted to, but now maybe they don't. And if Buffalo isn't in on that, I just don't think they've finished the job.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur hotline. I heard that too when he talked about still able to score goals. It came on the heels of a Jeff Skinner question. How do you replace those goals being scored? And he said, I'm not worried about scoring goals. We have talented players that can score goals. Do you agree with that? Should there be more of a focus on trying to get players who could score goals, or can it come internally and maybe they just had some down years because of maybe whatever reason, you know, coaching, the system, trying to be too much defensive? But you say what you want, but where will the goals come from? Are you as much on the same line as him of the players they have internally making up for those goals?
I wouldn't stake my reputation on it. Now, Tage Thompson. Personally, I think Tage Thompson can be a middle 40 goal scorer or 50, but I wouldn't stake my reputation on it that he's definitely going to do that. And be, I just feel he, with his shot, the way he plays, and having Lindy Ruff, that he can get back to that. But if I'm Kevin Adams, I'm not staking my job on it. Or that, you know, Tuck's going to get back up to around 40, or that Cousins is going to get up around 31. Jack Quinn's another one. If Jack Quinn's healthy, there's no doubt in my mind he scores 30 goals. I just think he is a good goal scorer, and everything I've seen from him. But I'll say the same thing. I mean, Kevin Adams' job is on the line. It's as simple as that. And I wouldn't put my job on the line for it. You know, I just think, there's too many if, ands, and buts. Jack Quinn can score 30 goals if he can stay healthy. You know, you could maybe put that on Thompson, too. A lot of Thompson's problems last year were injuries. You know, can he stay healthy to become or get back to the goal scorer he was 2 years ago? So there's too many ifs about it. I think they can. I mean, look what Cousins did at the World Championship, and last time he did that, he came in and scored 31 goals. You know, does he have his confidence back that you know, he can become productive? And even if he's high 20s, low 30s, I think you're doing fine with Dylan Cousins. But there's too many ifs, ands, and buts what we're talking about here. And I just think you'd still need to add to the top six. Who will make all those guys better if you add to it? You know, every guy I just mentioned here will have a better opportunity to get back to what we saw before if you do add to it.
He also spoke about what we already know, which is players not wanting to necessarily come here or teams not wanting to trade. I mean, Paul, I don't know what the answer here is. It's chicken and egg, right? You have to try to win before they come here. Talk about the state income tax, and I get it. We talk about that in all sports, right? Florida, it's tougher to compete against a team in Florida because they can go there without a state income tax. But where are you on, you know, your level of concern of being able to even get a player here, getting a team to even trade a player to you? Is Kevin Adams drawing too hard of a line when it comes to that, maybe even?
Well, he did give what he said a second thought, because what he originally said raised a bunch of eyebrows. It's like the players that give him a quick, I'm not sure I want to be a Sabre, I just move on to the next guy. I don't even give it a second thought. And he moved on from that comment, and we're all looking, oh, what? And then he reiterated later that you don't just do that off the bat. You do that after you have a conversation. You talk to him about Lindy Ruff, and you talk to him about the philosophy of the team, and you talk to him about the city, and you talk to him about what it is being a Sabre. And then if you get that answer and you're not getting anywhere, but when he originally said it, I'm just like, well, okay. Sometimes you do have to try to convince me. I mean, I'll use Craig Revay as the example. He's told this story many times. When he was in San Jose and told he was traded to Buffalo, he almost was in tears. It's like, you got to be kidding me. No. But he had to go, and he lives here still. Brought up his family here. I mean, never wanted to leave. And that's the selling point that you have to make on players when you do that. So that's the thing. You've got to have a better team. You can't, not make the playoffs for 13 years and then look like you're making progress and almost make the playoffs and have got a lot of good young talent. And many feel this is the best young talent in the National Hockey League. And then the next year, drastically regress. That doesn't make players want to show up and want to come here and want to sign contracts. So, yeah, it's like a chicken and egg. It's almost like now they have to go out and have a good season so they can, get players wanting to come here again. The tax thing, yeah, it's there, and I understand that. But you know what? New York was a high-tax state, too, when Danny Briere and Chris Drury and all those players were here and players wanted to come here. So it's not like you've never been able to get players to come. It's just right now with what's happened in this organization, why would you pick Buffalo when they haven't made the playoffs in 13 years? And quite honestly, people around the NHL know what's up, and they know Kevin Adams is under the gun too.
Paul Hamilton live from Sabres development camp happening behind him. You can hear it. Sounds great down at Lecom Harbor Center. We'll talk about the players on the ice at development camp in a moment. I wanted to ask you, and by the way, if anybody wants to give a call, 803-0550, you can do that. Jeff Skinner to Edmonton. Actually a really good fit there, and I feel like Jeff Skinner's going to thrive in Edmonton, and we're going to hear a lot about here's another former Sabre who's thriving. Sometimes, though, the system is obviously not quite the same in one place than the other. It could be hurtful or helpful, but I do feel like it's a good fit for Jeff Skinner in Edmonton.
Well, don't forget, he wasn't playing with Connor McDavid and Draisaitl here either.
Right, but exactly.
Anyway.
By the way, 1 year, $3 million by the Oilers.
Right, and who knows? I mean, has he hit the wall? I can't say. Nobody knows. He's 32. Maybe he has. He had a 24-goal year, and that's not what he's used to having. They couldn't keep him on the line with Thompson anymore. They had to move him because he was hurting the line. Was it just he was having a hard time? Was it he's hit the wall finally at age 32? I think, you can't say definitely about that after 1 year. You can think it's a possibility, and we'll find out, as he goes to Edmonton and plays there. We'll see if he has fallen off or if it was just a one-year bad year.
Paul, do you think the Sabres wanted to bring Zemgus Girgensons back? And what I mean by that is aggressively enough. There may have been an offer out there, as Kevin Adams said, but was it more of a token offer to say, hey, we're here if you want to, if you don't find anything? But at the same time, this works in NFL free agency sometimes. I've seen it with players, which is, hey, we're here, but go and find what you can. If you can, that's great. And, great for the – thanks for the memories.
Yeah, exactly. I think, yes, he did, but he wasn't going to give him a three-year contract.
Right.
That he got in Tampa Bay. I think he was looking for a one-year deal, and Girgensons found out he can do better. So whether the money was the same, I can't say. But I can say with fairly good confidence that there's no way that the Buffalo Sabres wanted to give him a three-year deal.
Paul Hamilton on the West Shore Hotline. Let's go to Joe down in Raleigh. Hi, Joe. You're on with Paul Hamilton. Go ahead.
Oh, Sal, I'm begging you. As a 25-year Sabres fan, actually a 50-year Sabres fan because I'm 50, and a 25-year Raleigh season ticket holder to the Hurricanes, a sufferable Sabres fan down here in Raleigh. Do not bring up Natchez again. The reason Brenda Moore is letting him go, if Brenda Moore lets somebody go, it's because the person lacks discipline and good habits. I don't want Natchez anywhere near our young kids. He's lazy, he doesn't play defense, and he's not really well-liked. That's why he's going to get let go. Do not pick up Natchez. Please give us other options. Please report other options. What you're saying is wrong, and I'm seeing it on a first-hand basis the last 5 years. Thanks, guys.
No, well, hold on. Can I?
What I'm saying,
I don't know what he means. What we're saying is wrong. What did we say? I don't pick the players.
And he's got it wrong. Trade. He's got it wrong. Brendan Moore's not kicking him out. Nate just has to be traded.
Yeah, I think it was more of a mutual. I'm sorry, Joe. I'm confused by what we are saying is wrong. Maybe we can call back. I don't understand what we've said. So
we're just stating facts.
Maybe we can clarify.
You know that the Sabres.
I just know that there's a lot of rumors out there that the Sabres have inquired about him. So of course we're going to talk about it. So when you say don't bring him up, no, I will bring him up because we're talking about it, and that's what the situation is. But you don't like the player. I get it. What kind of player do you think that Martin Natchez is, Paul?
Yeah, I mean, he's a very talented hockey player. I don't watch him game in and game out to know that, he's lazy. When I know he kills the Buffalo Sabres. He's not lazy when he plays the Buffalo Sabres, I'll tell you that. But, he's been a good goal scorer over the years. He is a top six type of a player. And whether he's Rod Brindamore's cup of tea, That I can't say. I haven't had a conversation with Rod Brindamore about him, but I can say it was Natchez's idea. He did not want to be there anymore. Maybe he didn't like the way he was treated by Brindamore. You know, I don't know. I haven't asked Natchez that question either, but certainly a guy that can put the puck in the net, and the Sabres absolutely need guys that can put the puck in the net.
Paul Hamilton here on the Wester Hotline. I'm still kind of confused about what we said was wrong about Natchez. I don't know what I said. Paul Hamilton's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Paul, what's happening on the ice behind you?
Well, right now we are doing...
Or in front of you.
Yeah, nothing's happening behind me. That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
In front of me, right now we're doing 4-on-3s. I've really kind of centered in on Hellenius to see what he's looked like. And I've really, now, let's remember, this is 18-year-olds going against 18 and 19-year-olds. But some of the things I liked, in a 3-on-3, twice I saw him get knocked down and should have been knocked off the puck, but wasn't. He was able to keep control of the puck, make a play once it wound up in the net. And he's a puck hound. He's always tracking the puck. It seems like wherever the puck is, he is. You look up and there he is, or he's around it, or he's tracking it. He seems like one of those guys that really likes, knows that I need to do anything I can to get the puck back for our team. So that's been good to see. He even had a good shot right under the crossbar. He walked in and, saw some net and actually put it up over the goaltender under the crossbar. And also, he seems very aware of teammates. A couple of times, McCarthy jumped into the rush one time. He saw him coming, gave him a perfect pass for a goal. So, so far so good. As I said, 18-year-olds against 18-year-olds. But I just like some of the things that I've seen about him. That Russian kid, Nuchev, against 18-year-olds. He was in Rochester last year, but great speed, has really good hands. Boy, he broke in on a goaltender and basically undressed him. Really a nice goal that he scored. McCarthy I've liked so far. I think he's a good skater. I think he's good at getting himself into open areas. A couple of times I've seen him come late into the rush as a defenseman and find himself around the crease and around the slot area. So those are some of the guys right off the bat that I've noticed in the first half hour here.
Well, I did put out the call for Joe to call back and tell us what we said about Natchez. He did, so I'm going to bring him up. So, Joe, what did we say that upset you so much about Martin Natchez?
No, it didn't upset me. And again, just critical thinking. I got thick skin, too. But you're both wrong. Natchez wants out of Carolina. Oh, no, let me finish.
Yeah,
Natchez
sure.
wants out of Carolina because like a good.
But can you stay on when you're done instead of hanging up?
Yeah. No. Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
Let's
good,
talk
good.
Through
good,
this.
Good. Thank you.
Gotcha. And again, you guys are the professionals, but I'm telling you as a fan that sits in the stands and watched Nietzsche's the last 5 years. The reason he wants out of here is because, like a good Fortune 50 company, Brenda Moore and his GM are the CEO, and they're making him get out of here. He doesn't like the discipline. He doesn't like the habits. He doesn't like the 200-foot game that Brenda Moore requires and that Stanley Cup champions require. I don't want him anywhere near our youth. So what say you, Paul? I'm wrong?
Hold on. So I'll respond from my perspective. That's fine. I have no problem with that take. You watched him closer than I have. I still don't know what I'm wrong about.
No. You're bringing him up. He shouldn't even be brought up.
No, but here's the thing, Joe. We bring him up because there's been many reports that the Sabres would trade for him. That's not wrong. We're telling you that.
Okay, cool. So you're reporting it. That's great.
That's why we bring it up.
Got it. And that's fine. Critical thinking. I would just add the sentence after that. We're bringing this up, but we're just bringing it up to report it. We don't want any part of him because we're a team.
You don't. I got you.
No. No, more than me. I think most of us that have seen the St. Louis Blues, the Vegas Knights, the Florida Panthers do what they've done in the last 5 years, we think we're kind of closer to that than you guys do. And I'm telling you right now, if you add a Natchez to your locker room, you ruin that. So you can report it, but then
of course.
Add the disclaimer of, this guy's a lazy, I'm not even going to say what he is. He's lazy.
But that's your opinion. That's your opinion. I don't know if you, it's your opinion.
It's a fact.
Okay.
Brenda Moore's letting him go. Brenda Moore's a champion. Brenda Moore's a Hall of Famer. Those are facts.
Okay.
He's letting them go. That's a fact.
Okay.
So you've actually gone to Rod Brenda Moore and talked to him about this. That would be the only way you would know it's a fact.
Not at all, Paul. But
then it's not a fact.
Okay.
It's a rumor. It's not a fact because you have not gone to Rod Brenda Moore and asked him yourself.
He's just randomly being let go like Skinner was in Carolina.
He's not being let go. They're not, I don't think they're going to cut him, right, Joe?
He has not. If Brenda Moore does not want him so badly, why has Carolina not traded him?
Oh, they will. July 1st was the date. We're on the 3rd or the 2nd.
They had a chance to get one of the top 10 picks in the National Hockey League, and they turned it down. Why?
I don't know. What you tell me.
Well, no, you tell me because you're telling me they want to get rid of him so badly. They want to get rid of him so badly they turned down a top 10 pick in the National Hockey League draft.
If I can, Joe, I want to – because we've talked – here, this is the bottom line. I just want to just lay this out. We all are on the same page, okay, buddy? All right, so you're down there in Carolina. You're down there in Carolina. You watch him. You have a very strong opinion about him. I respect that. I don't watch the player as close as you do. I respect that opinion. But the fact is there's been a lot of talk about him possibly getting moved to the Sabres. We're going to talk about that. We're all going to give our opinions on the player. You have yours. And we aren't Kevin Adams, and we aren't the people making the trades. So I think you're confusing that with the people. Like, we don't have that power to do that or yes or no. Does that make sense?
No, that totally makes sense. I love you guys, by the way. But I also love critical thinking, and I think guys like Brendan Moore not only know what they're doing, but they're champions. And yeah. I think that's where I want to go is start really reporting this stuff.
I mean, I do think that there's a lot to the report. I appreciate you calling back, buddy. Thank you.
You got it.
Yeah, thank you. No, I get it. And he's very passionate about it. Look, I mean, whether it's Martin Natchez or someone else, I mean, obviously the Sabres are looking to make deals. His name's been floated out there. I don't know. I want to move on from that. We talked way too much about Martin Natchez, but I appreciate him calling back and getting into the discussion. Paul, development camp, going on today, tomorrow, kind of set up the rest of the week, what it looks like for everybody.
Yep, and then culminates with a 3-on-3 here at Harbor Center on Thursday, July 4th. That'll be fun to see the players go up 3-on-3. And even now, they got the nets set up in the neutral zone, ones at each blue line. And it doesn't give the players much room in the 3-on-3 that they're doing right now, basically across the crest of the Sabre crest. So give some players – this is where you get to see some of the talent, guys who can, as they say, stick handle in a phone booth and things like that. So, that goes right through Thursday. I don't have it open right now off the top of my head. I don't know exactly what time the 3-on-3 starts on Thursday. We can look that up for you. And so, it goes right through then. And there's some fans. And there were more here yesterday, but there's some fans here for practice.
3-on-3 tournament starting at 9:15 a.m. on Thursday. Paul will have full coverage at PM 1717. Paul, real quick, 30 seconds on Dennis Gilbert. I know you know the family. It's the nephew of former Sabre executive Mike Gilbert. Sabre signed him, comes back home basically, grew up here, played with the Calgary Flames. Just a couple seconds on Dennis Gilbert.
Well, he brings something the Sabres have only one of in Clifton, and that's some grit, some guys that body check, defend teammates, that type of thing, and they only have one of those. So he does bring something to the table that they don't have, or they're short of, I would say. So if they want to keep eight defensemen, they may keep both he and Bryson. I don't think right off the bat he jumps into the top six, but you never know what kind of injuries you might wind up with in training camp.
All right. Thanks a lot, Paul. We appreciate it. We'll be dialed in at WGR550.com and on Twitter at PHAM1717. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
All right. You got it. Spent a lot of that segment talking about Martin Natchez. Joe in Raleigh, very, very passionate about Sabres not trading for Natchez. And that's fine. I just want to reiterate again, I don't know. I haven't watched the player close enough that Joe has, and I totally respect that opinion. I don't know why Rod Brind'Amour or Natchez want to mutually part ways, which is what the report is. But as long as there are reports or rumblings that the Sabres would be interested, then we're going to talk about that. And then you're free to judge what opinion you have. So I appreciate Joe calling back and, you know, giving his opinion on that. He's very passionate about it, obviously. We'll take a timeout. All right, so here's what we're going to do next. We're going to talk some soccer. I don't normally do that, but I watched about, we said a travel baseball game last night, came home, watched the last 15 minutes of that soccer game against Uruguay, the match, the game, whatever, Copa America. And there's been a lot of talk about getting rid of the coach. And you know who else? You know who is really good to talk about it, because I'm not the guy? Nick Mendola. So I reached out to Nick. He joins me next on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Speaking of getting connected here, this is the best kind of getting connected. When someone says something and it is factually incorrect and someone corrects us and I'm like, okay. And that could be me. Lord knows. I say things sometimes and I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of blew that one. I messed up. I said last week that there had never been a team overcome a 3-0 deficit in the Stanley Cup final. I was wrong. It was 1942 and it was the Maple Leafs and Red Wings, and it just, for some reason, I screwed that up. Anyway, getting connected with our fans is brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we have a getting connected with our fans here from Walshy, who said, somebody tell that dude, meaning Joe, who just called from Raleigh, Rod the Bod Brind'Amour is not even in the Hall of Fame. That is correct. He is not in the Hall of Fame. That's the fact, Joe. He is not. So there you go. That's getting connected with our fans. We're going to get connected now with our guy, Nick Mendola. I readily admit, I don't watch soccer enough. I'm not super into the strategy of the game. I don't know many of the players, if any, on the U.S. men's national team or U.S. women's national team. But I do love the pomp and circumstance of the World Cup and the Copa America and when they're playing. And I try to pay attention to what's going on, because so many of you do. So last night, it just seemed very frustrating watching this. And I said, I got to get Nick on today to talk about what happened in Copa America and why this team is not advancing. Good morning to you, buddy.
Hey, Sal, how are you? It is a beautiful morning, by the way. I feel like you and I are on the same page here. We have to acknowledge these things while they're happening in Buffalo. What a beautiful day.
No doubt about it. And what happened? So, all right, so what happened? What happened to this team? Why is this team not advancing? Everything I read about them, they have the most talent they've had in years, and they are obviously hitting a ceiling here. And why is that happening? Why did they hit a ceiling?
Well, there's two things at play here. One is, the power of something to alter a game and alter a tournament, and that power in sports sometimes can be a red card. The United States were playing a team they beat 9 times out of 10, maybe even better than that, earlier this week, Panama, and they took an early red card and never really recovered. They scored but gave up 2 goals, and that means that to go from trying to make it to the next round of Copa America became, all right, well, just win your first 2 games against teams you usually beat, and then, you know, do your best against Uruguay, to needing to beat Uruguay last night. That did not happen. And the second thing at play is, even if you want to say, oh, well, it does come down to the red card, sometimes bad things happen, there's a lot of consternation and consideration about the direction of the men's team moving forward because, as you said, Sal, an incredible amount of talent, what we call in soccer in the national team circles, a golden generation. When you have that much talent at one country that isn't necessarily a France or a Germany. And so there's just a lot of things being considered right now.
What about the coach here? I've been reading a lot about the coach and should they change him or where he stands right now within the U.S. men's national team.
It's an extremely tricky situation. And we know a lot about this. Even it's even happened in football, less so in football. But we're talking about player power. Greg Berhalter, after the World Cup, there was a crazy situation off the field that a lot of you remember. It's not even worth getting into, but they went through a rehiring process, basically. They brought him back because the young players on this team, who are their best players, were comfortable there. And that was enough reason. And honestly, whether you agree with it or not, and we see it in the NBA all the time, that seemed fair because you're only with your national team maybe once every couple of months. So the most important thing is that everybody can get together quickly, coalesce, and be on their best. But this was a Copa America on home soil, Bolivia and Panama. It was basically considered, yeah, well, you're going to win those and go to the knockout rounds, and then can you perform against Brazil or Colombia, who are likely next? Well, they didn't even get out of there. And when a failure of that disproportion to expectation happens in any sport, you're going to consider the direction of the team.
Nick Mendola joining me here on the West Her Hotline. What about the offsides last night, non-offsides? What happened in that situation? If people didn't, I didn't see it till later. I had turned it on just after that particular situation, but it appeared to me, from what everybody was tweeting about and talking about, that that should not have been a goal.
Yeah, it's really difficult to not get those explanations. It's what CONCACAF, which is the governing body of and CONMEBOL, the governing bodies of North and South American soccer, they were flirting with the idea. They had several times in this tournament had the referee come out and, much like the NFL or NHL, explain why the decision was made. That did not really happen last night. It's hard for me to say absolutely. One of the biggest problems that we have in the United States is, you know, this happened when Lionel Messi went to play Sporting Kansas City with Miami. They moved the game to Arrowhead. Well, Arrowhead has different angles, different camera angles. Is it technically set up? And so we are unsure. We didn't get the exacting standards we expect of a major tournament for the lines to be drawn to see if it was offside by VAR. And there are angles you can look at, which are all taken. We've done this in football, right? We talk about it with the laser-guided fourth down. Mm-hmm. Did that cross the line? Well, that's essentially what happened last night. To the naked eye, it definitely looked like he was offside. There are other angles, depending on where you were drawing the line. Honestly, whenever this happens, Sal, do you know what it reminds me of? In the home run throwback the next day in the Buffalo News, there were like diagrams about how the world was spinning, so clearly it was a backwards pass.
Right.
It's just very tricky. So, yes, it seemed like that was going to be overruled at the time. But there's just no definitive camera angle. The corner kicks, because it was played. Remember when the Bills Stadium, they were talking about why don't we get national games here? And it's like, well, it's too close to the corners. That was also the case. This was just an unideal situation to try and get more people into a game.
So what's funny is, and interesting, you're talking about this, and I'm thinking, Jeremy and I went on a new stadium tour a couple weeks ago, and we learned a lot. Before we actually did the hard hat tour, we learned a lot from John Polk and the great folks down there and Frank Corvada at the Bills Stadium. And they said one of the really big things, like the most important things for the league, is camera angles for their networks. And they said, you can design this and design that, but if you walk in and they say, nope, NBC or CBS and ESPN aren't going to like this, you have to redo where you did it. They take into account so much of that. It feels like here, that's not necessarily the case when it comes to these soccer matches. They kind of just want to put it in places where they can kind of grow the game a little bit in some areas.
Yeah, you know, that's partly true. Kansas City is one of our spiritual homes for soccer. Atlanta as well. Okay. Just people in Buffalo love to have it there, but this is an old stadium. The soccer stadium, Arrowhead gets 30,000-40,000 more people than the soccer stadium there.
Right.
And if you're going to get $50 a seat, I mean, we all know money's going to talk. Let's not pretend that they're going to do something for the sporting purity of the game. But you're right. That's the difference, though, is these when they play at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, which is also the home of Atlanta United, if they were to, and we know we're all hoping for it, and even the county executive talked about it when they announced the stadium, if there's a big soccer game here, These stadiums are better prepared for it. They suit their camera angles out. This was just, you know, it just wasn't the case last night, and it hurt the U.S. in an underdog situation where every goal was going to matter because Uruguay is a better team than the United States, and that's no shame.
Nick, what is the state of soccer in the U.S. right now, all the way from the U.S. men's national team down to, you know, 6- and 7-year-olds playing? What's the state of the game in this country right now?
It's still growing. It always is. But we're in a very interesting time. And that's because the U.S. women's national team, so long, the pillars of the sport. Well, listen, they inspired investment sale in so many other countries so that the U.S. no longer walks into every tournament knowing they're going to win almost every game until they get to Brazil or France or Germany. So they have a new coach they brought over from England, and they have a big Olympics coming up. The men's team is hosting World Cup in 2026. Not many nations right. get to do this in their history. So this is why the coach conversation is so pivotal, because you do not get a lot of the hosts almost always do well in these major tournaments. So this is a tremendous opportunity for the United States. And will they be able to take advantage of it? Because Greg Berhalter, their current coach, he's a good coach. He's a fine coach. There are better game day coaches. And will the U.S. opt for, well, this guy is liked by our players and we're not going to fall flat on our faces more often than not? Or will they look to be their very best? And so that is really the state right now. The women's team has opted against the player power. Not the player power, that's the wrong way to put it, but they have hired one of the best coaches in the world from Chelsea. She does have connection to the United States, but everyone is excited at who's in charge there. To say that, there were fire Greg chants last night at the stadium. Everyone's not inspired by him.
Do you like the locations of the World Cup coming here? Toronto, Philly, New York, New Jersey, Miami, Boston, Atlanta. Those are really the ones closest in the East. There's a lot more, obviously. Do you like the locations they chose?
I mean, obviously, I wanted them in Buffalo. But, that was not going to happen. Yeah, I do. I there are some places I would have liked to see the games. But when we talk about, you know, money and what's going to happen, these situations were always going to occur. The problem I face is if you are anywhere within reason of Toronto, it's not a gigantic stadium. It's going to be, you're going to get priced out there. It's so difficult to imagine, unless it is, you know, countries without huge, you know, if Qatar is playing, I'm trying to think of another nation that doesn't travel well or is from another part of the world, it's going to be very difficult to get into, say, Germany versus the United States or Canada versus France if the game is in Toronto. So that's the only thing I don't like, but I think that's a problem at almost every World Cup in a developed nation.
Nick Mendola, owner FC Buffalo. Let's talk about the future of soccer in Buffalo. A new stadium coming. We know that the stadium's not going to be built per size for a World Cup, but they will be able to play professional soccer here in the way that they can lay it out. I've learned a lot about this and how it can happen, and I do expect soccer matches to be held there. All High Stadium, you guys play there. You have different venues you've, you know, played in around Western New York. What is the future of Western New York soccer, especially with the new stadium coming?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll start with I don't want to say the elephant in the room, but something that a lot of people have been talking about, and that is the USL Championship trying and Peter Marlette and basically Buffalo Soccer trying to build a soccer-specific stadium here mm-hmm. in Western New York. That would be such a boon, because if you have a gigantic stadium like the Bills Stadium that could play host to the biggest games possible, and you also have a second venue that is world-class, state-of-the-art, that you can have smaller games, and it opens you up to so much. And so we're at the same way. Look, Buffalo has, and this is why I encourage everyone who's looking to develop, Buffalo has a turf shortage for a place that is so weather dependent. It is unfortunately very important that you have more opportunities to safely play and safely grow the game. And I love what's going on in Buffalo. I love the intentions of what's going on in Buffalo. And here's hoping we continue to see the business community step up to support the excellent soccer fans of Western New York. I'm at All High Stadium right now. They redid it. I know you've been here a lot for football sale. It is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Big blue Buffalo at center. We're running a free camp right now through FC Buffalo. It's basically a free training camp for kids who are going into high school next year and trying to make out varsity for Buffalo Public Schools. And I'm out here watching a bunch of kids play, and they are thrilled to have the opportunity to be on high-class, world-class turf, you know, when they're outside of school. And we need more of that in Buffalo and more community programming. And I'm on my soapbox now, so I'll stop. But you get the idea. Nothing is going to stop it. The Bills Stadium allows for the potential of a national team playing here, allows for the potential of when Manchester United comes here to play Barcelona in a friendly, you know, those things to happen in Buffalo. The idea of a soccer-specific USL championship stadium allows for so much more. It allows you to, and frankly, let's let Buffalo become the hub so when there are state finals for high school, when there are state finals for tournaments, that we can bring those events to Buffalo, which is really what I would love to see more of. Even when I was playing 25 years ago in high school, Sal, you went to Rochester for the regionals. You went downstate for the finals. Let's bring – Buffalo is such a great hub for this sort of thing.
There are people listening right now who might just be learning all these things for the first time, Nick, to be honest with you, right? Because it's not necessarily a sport we truly cover and talk about a lot. And when these kinds of things happen, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't know FC Buffalo was right here. I didn't know about Ohio Stadium. How can people kind of learn more, get more involved, be a part of, you know, what's happening in the growth of soccer here?
Well, first of all, I'll just give you my email and I'll put you in the right direction. If you care about different spots of sports or you just want to ask, nick@fcbuffalo.org. I would be thrilled to have that opportunity. But there are so many other great avenues. We have a lot of high-level Division One and Division Two and Division Three soccer going on in the fall with some good role models. Obviously I'm biased, but I love what we're doing with FC Buffalo. We get these youth clubs out to watch our women's team and our men's team, and you get a role model situation. I've talked to so many girls who are playing now, and they're in their 18s, 19s, 20s, even on our women's team. And you know what they can reference? They can reference when the Western New York Flash were here as a professional team before they moved to the club. And you had Alex Morgan and Marta and Christine Sinclair. You had literally the best soccer team on earth at the time playing out of Western New York, and it had a foothold, and it didn't get the chance to really reach its peak because of the realities, financial realities of the sport. The point is, we can point to role models now of every skin color, of every creed, of every denomination, and you can find an example of at least one who has represented the United States women's national team or the United States men's national team. Now we have to give these inspired kids an opportunity, a platform, and a place to grow their games to the next level. And I'm excited. This is just a boys camp we're running right now at Ohio Stadium, and I can look out there, and we have players from the Burmese immigrant community. We have players from North Buffalo. We have players from City Honors, McKinley, Hutch Tech. We have players from the Yemeni community. And these are all kids playing together right now, just running drills with our coaches, who are players who, by the way, themselves, college players from Brazil and Germany in terms of the coaches we have today. And while I have this, I want to thank Dom Massaro, who has helped us put this together, the boys' high school soccer director. But that's the thing. Can we give more of a platform? I get excited about this stuff, Sal. Can we give more of a platform to these inspired players to get to a high level, to get to their highest level?
I love it. Listen, man, you talk about this the way I talk about grassroots football. You know that, right? I mean, like, I'm just, you know, I love it. And I think that, you know, the more that we can do to be advocates for the games and for our youth playing and boys and girls in different avenues, I mean, I think it's totally awesome. By the way, at Nicholas Mendola, if you want to follow Nick on social media, on Twitter, you can learn more. Nick@fcbuffalo.com. Real quick before I let you go, I loved your analogy. I said, what happened to this team last night? 15 minutes I watched. I was frustrated. Seemed like there were a lot of chances. You said, I'll compare it to having a red zone problem. I loved that.
Yeah, we move the ball up and down the field. We have a very decent defense, but you got to finish. And it's got to be more than Christian Pulisic. Unfortunately, their center forward, Fuller and Balogun, who's an excellent young player, was injured about 41 minutes in. And they just never found that footing. So they'll get there. It's just a matter of, are they best positioned to do their best at the final stage? It is on a lesser scale because we've had less success in U.S. soccer than we have on the Bills. It is what some people make when they have the Sean McDermott discussion. So what do you know there's someone better out there? You better know there's someone better if you're going to move on from someone who has had a good domestic level. Two things, and I'll be very quick here. We do have three home games this week, and I know you told me I could talk about this. So we have three home games this week. Our men play tonight. It's for yep. a playoff position. If we win, we'll be in the driver's seat.
Nice.
And our women play Friday and Sunday. If they win both of those games, they will be division champs for the fourth straight year. Our women's team is spectacular. We literally, outside of the playoffs, I think have lost four games in four years. And I would absolutely love that. And then the only other thing I want to say is, if you go to betterworld.fcbuffalo.org, we are fundraising to run more camps like this. We have a signed Josh Allen jersey, a signed Bruno Fernandez jersey, a signed Erling Haaland ball. That's betterworld.fcbuffalo.com or .org, excuse me.
And you can just, if you want to learn more about the team itself, look at their schedule, all that, fcbuffalo.org, betterworld.fcbuffalo.org for the fundraising aspect as well. Nick, thanks. This was really fun. I appreciate it. I always appreciate your knowledge kind of helping me a little bit with the game, because like I said, I like watching from afar. I don't get into it. So when these kinds of things happen, I have to reach out to people like you.
Yeah, and listen, you and I are the way you talk about football is the same way I am about soccer. The difference is, like you, and this is why I'm going to win you over, I was a hockey, baseball, football guy growing up. I didn't play soccer till I was 14. So we're going to get you out here, and you're going to appreciate it even more. But, yeah, thanks. And congrats on everything. I really appreciate you having me around.
All right, you got it, Nick. Thanks. We'll catch up down the road. Thanks, buddy.
You got it, Sal.
All right, Nick Mendola. Good stuff right there. FCBuffalo.org. U.S. men's national team last night. Tough loss against Uruguay. And again, I will not pretend to know a lot about the soccer that's going on, like the U.S. men's national team or with the women when they're playing. But I love watching when they're playing in big matches because it matters to people, and I want it to matter and talk about it and know. And, you know, last night was tough. 15 minutes, I'm watching the last 15 minutes, and they're getting close. They can't score, and it was getting frustrating. We'll take a timeout. All right, so we're going to do a real quick segment. We come back then, the top of the hour. Coley Harvey of ESPN is going to join me. We'll set that up after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. ESPN national reporter Coley Harvey is going to join me after this timeout, and then at 11:30... we're going to replay Kevin Adams from yesterday after day one of NHL free agency. So we'll do all that coming up. Coley Harvey next up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Getting close. They can't score. And it was getting frustrating. We'll take a timeout. All right. So we're going to do a real quick segment. We come back then, the top of the hour. Coley Harvey of ESPN is going to join me. We'll set that up after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. ESPN national reporter Coley Harvey is going to join me after this timeout. And then at 11:30, we're going to replay Kevin Adams from yesterday after day one of NHL free agency. So we'll do all that coming up. Coley Harvey next up here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.